get your Bibles out this morning. Psalm 150. All the people said, amen, finally. Woo! See, what's next week? Psalm 1. We're going to just start at the beginning. Let's go through. It's a 147-week study. No. Man, I have, in my own heart, and they say this, when you prepare to teach and preach something, the study and the effort, or the amount of study you put into it, you really benefit so much. And I really, in my own heart, have greatly enjoyed this study. So praise the Lord for that. All right. Are we good, Joe? Yes? All right. Sounds good. It sounds a little loud. Thank you, Samuel. Appreciate that. If you want a humbling experience, have 4 teenagers live in your home. Five. Sorry, Vic. This is a special message here today for the fact that I never realized this. We'll draw attention to the last part first, actually. Psalm 150 and verse 6, it says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I've thought about this a lot over this last course of time. This is one of the greatest invitations ever given. And we're going to see why. Because God, in His worship and in His praise, is very particular. And then He invites all of us to participate in this. I'm so thankful for that thought. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. God, forgive us for who we are. Lord, that like that song said, I love you, but I know I'm prone to wander. I'm prone to leave the very things that are so important and I know that you so value. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I pray for your power now. And God, help me, as I'm thinking this morning, Lord, help me to understand better that I might be able to preach with greater understanding of your word. Lord, help me to minister to these that are here. And Lord, use this message in a powerful way. Lord, we need you and love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a special guest with us, Miss Kathy, today, right? Miss Kathy is Joe and Sean's sister. Praise the Lord. Man, we're getting the band all together. This is great. And appreciate her being here, and thankful for that. Psalm 150 and verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. In Psalm 134 and verse 2, it says this, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. There's a reason that this room is called the sanctuary. I say, what is the purpose of that? Well, let's look at some what the scripture says about this. In Hebrews chapter number 9, the sanctuary in the scriptures designed by God, Hebrews chapter number 9, was a special place. Sometimes our buildings have multi-function, right? But when the congregation of the people of God meet together for praise and for the preaching, that's a sanctuary. And God says that's a special place. In Hebrews chapter 9, hey, you didn't just walk into the church house today. You walked into the sanctuary. That's a special thing. Hebrews chapter 9, we're going to read 6 verses here. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Say, a worldly sanctuary. It just means that there's a sanctuary here on earth, all right? For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. The second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, a place that we would call the most holy place in the scriptures. Maybe you've heard it referred to as the Holy of Holies. A place where if you went to without being right and clean in your own self, the minute you walked into that place, you'd drop dead. Man. Imagine coming into church like that. I bet there'd be a prayer meeting outside of the building. Right? Man, all right, sorry. I'm just thinking about what that would entail. Which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid with about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded in the tables of the covenant. That's the Ten Commandments. And over at the cherubims of the glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particular, don't quite know where it is. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing, look at this next phrase, the service of God. In Psalm 150 in verse 1, it says, praise you, the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. And we are like those priests walking into a place, a special place. God designed it. He calls this place a sanctuary. And in that place, what did he receive? He received worship. He received praise. It was a special place. The Bible says the place where accomplishing the service of God. Hey, you think you're just a bystander sitting here. Oh, I'm here to get something from God. No, we are here to participate. That's why we don't have home church. We assemble together by definition. That's what the church is. A called out assembly with a purpose of worshiping the Lord. That's why we come here. This is a special place. Say, is this hallowed ground? Should I take off my shoes? No, but there should be something within our mind saying, I'm going to go do the service of God. This isn't just a place made with drywall. We've been in places, Mr. B, where it wasn't drywalled. There were no windows. We were in Trinidad. We've been in a lot of different places. Been to Mexico, been to Guatemala, been to Africa a few times. And those sanctuaries where people gathered together, they had metal siding as walls, right? But yet God met in that place. That was a special place. A place where the service of God was accomplished. No, I'm just here to see my friends, and I'm just here to, my mom makes me come to church. Do you understand that when you walk in here and you participate in the things of God, that you are accomplishing the service of God? This is a special place. In Exodus chapter number 25, this is a divine place. Look at this, Exodus 25. Exodus 25 and verse 8. And let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Hey, God was in that place. Why did he want a sanctuary here on earth? Because he wanted to meet with his people. I understand. I know this is just a church house. I get it. But do you understand that when God calls, then when we call this place a sanctuary, it takes on a whole new meaning? In the scriptures, it was a special place. In the scriptures, it was a divine place. It was a place where God met with his people. You come here looking for that? God, I need you to meet with me. Leviticus chapter number 26. A divine place. Look at Leviticus chapter number 26 and verse 1. You shall make no idols nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up anything of stone in your land to bow down unto it. For I am the Lord your God. Hey, remember, God desires worship. He wants it all. He's a jealous God. He says, I don't want you worshiping other things. I don't want idols. I don't want images. I don't want you bound down to anything, just me. Verse 2, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. I know, Sarah out, is she in? Okay, I think she's in Sunday school. She'll tell me, and I'll say this, and she helps me with stuff. And she'll say, Nick, you can't say like, you can't be so harsh with food and you know, bringing food into the sanctuary and stuff. I said, well, you know, I just got to remind people. She goes, everybody knows. I said, okay. She goes, you got to be not so uptight about stuff. And I get it. And I get it. I understand. I got faults, and that is one. And of many. But here I see something about the reverence of God's place. And I don't want, and I remember Pastor Huber preached a message where the holy things become common. Hey, this is a special place. It's a place where God meets with us every week. When we open up the doors to this place and we sing the songs of Zion, and God is worshiped through our song, and He's blessed by our sacrificial giving, and people that don't know the Lord come here and get right with God and can turn their life around, and the preached word of God happens. Hey, this is a special place. This is the divine place, a place that ought to be reverenced. Now, we don't worship this place. We worship the God of this place. But in Ezekiel chapter 42, you know what he calls the sanctuary? Go to Ezekiel. Forgive me if I sound like I'm trying to convince you of something. I know you know this. I'm just reminding us. Ezekiel 42 and verse 20. It says this. And he measured by four sides, had a wall round about 500 reeds long, Ezekiel 42, 20, and 500 broad to make a separation between the sanctuary and the profane place. Why are there walls around the sanctuary? Because something holy was going on inside the sanctuary. That ought to be what happens in this place. And in Psalm 150, it says, praise ye the Lord. Now listen, I this is not where the high priest comes in. This is not the most holy place. But there are, when we call this a sanctuary, it's on purpose. Because it's a special place. It's a place where God meets with us. It's a place that should be reverenced. It is a holy place. Why? Because Lord willing, and this is what we pray week after week after week, that God would come in this place. Yeah, we can put all the pews all in a straight line, and we can get all the hymnals every other chair, and we can put Bibles in the racks, and we can even put people in the chairs. But if God doesn't come here, might as well go to McDonald's. Because they have this like bagel, egg, and cheese thing. Oh, man. But this place ought to be a holy place. Because God shows up here. And when it says in Psalm 150, verse 1, praise ye, Lord, praise God in His sanctuary. Hey, is that what's happening here? Say, well, I go through. Is God's service being accomplished through you? It's not just about filling a seat. It's about God being worshipped by His people. Psalm 150 and verse 2. Psalm 150. Go back there. Just keep a little marker. Psalm 150. Oh yeah. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. His excellent greatness. Look at Psalm 145, just a page back. Psalm 145 and verse 3. Great is the Lord. Is that true? Great is the Lord. And if God is great, then He ought to be greatly praised. Isn't that what it says? Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another. Hey, that's what our young people need. And we talked about this in our Sunday school class. Our young people, they need to learn respect. They need to see some Christians that take this thing for real and that God is real to them, and they see the power of God demonstrated amongst us in their parents. Not just in the preacher, not just in an evangelist that comes through, not just in a missionary that comes through. Day to day, God is real to you. One generation shall praise Thy works to another. Is that happening? And shall declare Thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty and Thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of the terrible acts. And I will declare Thy greatness. Psalm 150 and verse 2 says, praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Are you declaring His greatness? Is God getting praised by your words? Is He getting glory from what He has done? At our house, we have a sink. Do you have a sink? Good. In our sink, we wash dishes. Everyone uses different things, but we use sponges at our house. How many of you use like washcloths? Anybody washcloth family? Okay, good. All right. Some sponges. We got some sponge users. All right, good. Sponges are good. You use them. But then they get a little sour smelling every now and then, and you got to replace them, right? Ever get a bad sponge? Ever touch a bad sponge? You need like lemon juice to get that smell out. I don't know what it is. I'd rather rub garlic in my hands than the smell of a moldy, old, nasty sponge. Anyway, so why are you telling us about sponges? Because we're kind of, it's unfortunate that sometimes we as Christians receive so much goodness that God literally has to wring us out to get praise. It says that we should be declaring, I will declare thy greatness. God, He says, praise Him according to His excellent greatness. And it is our responsibility as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ and the God of heaven, I will declare thy greatness. Look at Psalm 86. Look at verse 8. Among the gods there is none like unto thee. Psalm 86, verse 8. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. Who can do what God can do? No one. Who can change lives? Who can save homes? Who can do what God can do? Nobody. Look at verse 9. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. What do you think of God? What is your perception of God? Well, He's there when I need Him. That's true. But do you identify His wondrous works? Is He great? If we saw the greatness of God, we would be not so greedy and covetous. If we saw the greatness of God, our eyes wouldn't stray after lustful images and thoughts. If we saw the greatness of God, we wouldn't get angry at our children so easily. If we saw the greatness of God, we wouldn't pout and get hurt so easily in our marriages. If we saw the greatness of God, we wouldn't worry about our looks so much. If we saw the greatness of God, we wouldn't spend time watching mindless television. If we saw the greatness of God, we wouldn't get so discouraged with the evil and godlessness of our culture. Say why? Because God's still great. If we saw the greatness of God, we wouldn't give in to our fleshly appetites. If we saw the greatness of God, we would be humbled at the thought of serving and praising Him. Again, in my mind, when I think about the greatness of God and one who got a glimpse of that, I think of the prophet Isaiah. When he saw God and His glory, he just immediately volunteered. I don't know if you remember when the towers were hit with those planes. Many a young man went down to the enlistment center and said, sign me up. Why? Because they saw a need. They saw something that affected their day. Hey, imagine if we got a hold of God's greatness for a moment. We wouldn't fret as much, would we? If we think about, if God can take the waters and he can make them stand up as a heap and a wall, and people can walk around on walk through on dry ground, surely he can handle my difficulties. If I got a hold of the greatness and the holiness of God, this, what the world is offering, would seem insignificant. How could you compare the best that this world has with heaven and the things of God? There's no comparison. No comparison. Hey, Christian, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Psalm 150. It's been said, the bigger God is to you, the smaller your problem. The smaller God is to you, the bigger your problem. That's true. That's true. Psalm 150 in verse 3. Praise him with the sound of trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Say, what are you going to do with this, Pastor? Well, we're going to praise him that way. That's what we're going to do. Praise him with all that. I think God is pleased when with song we mix it with instrument. See, why do you think that? Because he tells us to do that. Psaltery and harp and trumpet and timbrel. What is that? Those little, you know, tambourines. Man, I could not think of that word. I got it. They had two cymbals. They had the loud cymbal. I don't know if that's a gong, you know, just wha-bong, you know, loud. And then a high cymbal, maybe like that. I appreciate Roger over here, and he does our cymbal. And like every now and then, Sunday night, all of a sudden I'll catch that the snare drum isn't playing, and it starts to stir in my heart. Because I know that somewhere throughout this song, I'm going to hear, shh, boom, and I like that. How many of you have ever tried that? Your children have, I'll tell you this. They come over here and make their own little marching band, and they come over here. Honestly, out of all the instruments, I mean, outside of the roll, the cymbal's pretty simple. Just a bang. But we ought to praise the Lord with instrument. Are you learning an instrument for the glory of God? Say, no, I just don't have that. Well, he tells us to praise him with it. Hey, we don't know something about our Bible. What do? We study. We practice teaching. We practice all these things. Is there an instrument that you're practicing? For the glory of God. Not to go on tour, but for the glory of God. We have people here that could teach you instruments. We could double the size over here. Amen. Well, what's it going to take? Practice. You heard Mrs. Huber playing? That's not by accident. That's practice. Anna Seatman was at our house yesterday. Man, she was playing on our piano. Well, how's that happen? Practice. You may look at that thing and go, oh, it's just that. It's so insignificant. It's not insignificant to the Lord. He thinks it's pretty important. Go with me. I want to show you this. There's a man in our Bibles. His name is Asaph. And look at 1 Chronicles chapter number 15. Remember the story of when David wanted to move the ark and he did it his way? Remember? And what happened? The thing wobbled, right? Who touched it? Anybody remember? Who's Uzzah, right? And what happened to him?
Died.
Done right there. So the ark pretty much was like, David's like, whoa, let's rethink this. It's kind of like walking into the most holy place unprepared. All of a sudden it causes you to just, hold on a second. So now David's ready to move the ark right. He's ready to move the ark how it should be done. Not doing the right thing the wrong way, doing the right thing the right way. And then we come to 1 Chronicles chapter number 15, and look at verse 16. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up their voice with joy. So the Levites appointed, and I want you to see this guy's name, Asaph. You see Asaph right there in the middle? The son of Berechiah. Asaph's job is to play the cymbals. Say, that seems pretty insignificant. Well, when the king appoints you to play something, that's special, isn't it? Imagine if the king, if the president said, we would like you to come and read this poem. Oh, man, you'd practice, you'd get ready. Imagine the King David comes to Asaph and he says, here's your job. I want you to play the cymbals. Oh, man. He's over there. He's got his thing, and he's thinking, whang, you know. No, I want to hit it a little higher. And he's practicing and thinking about that thing. Nice thing about cymbals is never out of tune. I don't think. Do they go out of tune? No, I don't think so. What a humbling thing. Obeyed the king with cymbals. It was simple. You don't even need to have an ear for music. But it was an instrument of service for the Lord. And he did it with all his heart. 1 Chronicles chapter number 16. So they bring the ark up. And there's a big time. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, look at verse 37. So he left there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord Asaph and his brethren to minister before the ark continually, as every day's work required. Every single day, Asaph's out there with his cymbal, praising the Lord, bang, hitting his time and doing all that. You know, every single day, it was required of him. Hey, if we're to praise God, we're to praise God every day. We're to take that thing serious. This was something special. Look at it was going to be required of him to live right. He couldn't just come walking in. We saw what happens when people didn't take their worship serious around the ark. Asaph, when he comes in, he's got to be ready. He's got to be prepared. He's got to live right, take his service serious. He's got to be sincere. That's what God is looking for people to serve him. People with the heart like Asaph. No abilities or skill. What did Asaph bring to God? Nothing, just an availability. A willingness. God, I'll do what you told me to do. Whether as big or small as it is, whether it's playing a cymbal or not. Hey, God, through my life, may you get praise. He yielded to the work of God. Go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, look at verse 7. Look at what happens. Asaph has such a heart. There's something that David sees in him that he comes to Asaph and he says, hey, I have this psalm that I wrote. Could you help me put some music to it? Isn't that amazing? Look what it says here in verse 7. It says, then on that day, David delivered his first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. And here we read, and what's written here in 1 Chronicles 16 is Psalm 105. You go to Psalm 105, you see this exact. He brings it to Asaph and he says, hey, can you help me with the music on this? Can you play this song? Man, there was something special. But it wasn't just Asaph now. Look at what it says. Do you see what it says in verse 7? That on that day, David delivered first the psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. It's no longer just Asaph. Asaph didn't give up in those previous chapters. He didn't stop playing a cymbal. He did it day and night. Here, what does he do? As we see in this passage by verse 37, he's the one standing out in front of the ark now. Not only did he help David with a psalm and putting music to it, Asaph, the simple cymbal player, is there before the ark day after day. Now just not him, but him and his brethren. That's pretty awesome. Then when we go to 2 Chronicles 29. So why are you telling us all this? Because to God it's not insignificant. To what you and I may look at and go, oh, it's just a little music. It's just a cymbal. Hey, Asaph took it really serious and said, I'm going to do this for the king and for God. And God was pleased with that. Here we are literally hundreds of years later. Hundreds. 2 Chronicles 29. There's a king. His name is Hezekiah. Hezekiah wants to bring revival back into Israel, and he wants to do right. You know what he looks for? Look at this. Look at verse 7. It says this in 2 Chronicles 29, 7. Also, they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the Lord, unto the God of Israel. Hey, there'd been a time where the worship of God was just silent. And Hezekiah's like, this is not going to do. We have got to go back to God. Look at verse 13. What do we find? We find the sons of Asaph in verse 13. In 2 Chronicles chapter 35, go ahead another 100 years. Here we now have King Josiah. In 2 Chronicles 35 and verse 15, and the singers, the sons of Asaph, were what? In their place. Hey, Asaph, just a guy that David appointed to play the cymbals, now has a legacy of hundreds of years. And all of them were in their place. By the time we get to Ezra, go to Ezra. They show up again. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Just next book over. Ezra 3 in verse 10. Here they're rebuilding the temple. Guess who shows up? And when the builders laid, in Ezra 3:10, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with what? Cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. Hey, find someone from the house of Asaph. Again, to what you and I may seem insignificant, God takes a liking to. And here we see a man's legacy. Hey, remember this principle. You reap what you sow. And Asaph's heart was right with God. It was humbled before the Lord. He played the cymbals before the ark, and he helped David with song humbly and with the right heart. And you know what? He reaped what he sowed. And here's the other principle of reaping and sowing. You reap more than you sow. And listen, you reap later than you sow. Asaph had no idea that this, hundreds of years later, when they're looking for people to praise God, they go to the cymbal players of the house of Asaph. Say, why are you telling us all this? Because what we may deem as insignificant, God says is significant. And when we take our worship serious with the things of God, we can have a legacy in which there will be generation after generation from your house that praise God. Isn't that what we want? So when they got up there in Psalm 150, and they got the psaltery, and they got the harps, and they got the cymbals, hey, there wasn't one that was more important than the other. No, they were all for the worship of God. Would you consider worshiping the Lord in that way? Would you consider learning an instrument? Would you consider praising God in that way? The house of Asaph was blessed for hundreds of appears to follow, because one guy just said, I'll play the humble cymbal for you, Lord. And his name shows up over and over again. Psalm 150, last verse. Psalm 150, look at verse 6. Psalm 150 and verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Not only does he want us to use instruments, he wants us to use our voice. Let us remember this. The sanctuary was a special place, a holy place. Remember the most holy place? Only one guy could go in one time a year. Here, he invites us all in. Let everything, I think of Brother Charlie, every year at Summit he does this, right? He has everyone take their hand, put it in front of their face, blow on your hand. See that? You ought to be praising God. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That's you and I. That's you and I. In Revelation 5:13 it says, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and which is such as are in the sea and all that are therein them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb forever and ever. Every creature. This is one of the most beautiful invitations in all the Bible. For God designing the sanctuary to be such a special, holy place. Yet, he invites us all into that place. He invites us all in. Every one of us. Say, what's the qualifier for worshiping? Yeah, but that's a holy place. That's a place where God meets with people. I don't deserve to be in that place. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Hey, he wants you here. He wants you in this place to worship and praise him. He wants you to come to him humbly, praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He invites the strong and the weak. He invites the old and the young, the man and the woman, the rich and the poor, the strong in faith, and those that have little faith. He invites the kings and the servants, all alike, to come and worship him. If you ever think that I don't belong here, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. He invites us into the sanctuary to come praise him. Say, I'm not clean enough. I'm not. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Isn't it good to know that praise is for all? It's not for a select group. It's not for an elect. Do you hear that? It's not for some, you're in, you're out. No, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. This place is a special place. What makes it so special? God. God makes this place a special place. And you being here, you're not just here to take it in. You're here to accomplish service to God. Maybe the Lord humbled your heart this morning. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. Maybe you want to come and just praise the Lord in prayer. God, I don't deserve to be in this place. Thank you for the invitation. Maybe you're here this morning and, God, I sure would love to be able to praise you through instrument. Will you show me what to do with that? Can you come and make yourself available to him in that? Hey, maybe you want to declare thy greatness, but you haven't been. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Hey, you're important here. You're here on purpose. And I am thankful that you are here. In a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today's the day. Why not? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want your sins forgiven for all eternity? Why wouldn't you want a God that cares for you and loves you to spend all eternity with? I could give you limitless reasons to trust Christ. You can't give me one not to. There isn't one. Maybe here today, you just humble your heart and come to God and say, God, I just want to praise you better. I take way too much focus on myself. I shouldn't even be here. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless the time of invitation now. Lord, we are thankful for who you are. And God, our life ought to praise you. Lord, help us with these things. Bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?